go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. My apologies to those of you listening live. For some reason or another, the streaming interface was being weird. Maybe because it's, I don't, who knows? It was just being weird. It's going to be one of those evenings. Hi, I'm Robin. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza. That is the Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. All time zones in between the great globe round. And where if you pop into the chat room right here, right now, listening live, you'll be greeted by the early arrivers. That's Irish Dave and Ralphs and Squeaky and Theo. Hi, gang. And capably moderated by Horn Chief Agronomist, Chief Mathematician, and Bud Trimmer Emeritus, Roger, in Oregon. I guess we could add Zimmergist to that. Someone schooled in the ways of yeast fermentation. Yeah, Zimmergist. It's going to be one. The late Robin. Not sure why, but I had a vision of you running about the studio with some string and additional tinfoil to slap on the bunny ears in order to connect to the interweb tubes. Oh, you're not far off. Most broadcasts, I'm standing up on one leg, one hand in the air, and my thumb just fell. And yes, I am bedeviled by ancient software and old machinery. The crack on the iPad screen continues to grow. But I'd rather be that late Robin than a different late Robin, Matt. So yeah, there's that, too. It is Friday on the front porch. We have reached the end of, the third full week of October? Well, yes, it is. It is the end of the third full week of October. How's about that, sports fans? That being the case, every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude. And this program is no different, so we say thank you at the beginning of the program to our 20th day of the month PayPal subscribers and contributors. Thank you for jumping in, Ralphs, and following through on your wager from yesterday about Jim Jacketoff Jordan. Thank you. And thank you to Dr. John out in New Mexico. Thanks as well to Ralphs. And thank you to Armand and Vincent. Thank you to Reverbo out in Colorado. Thank you to David in Oregon. Thank you all for being partial sponsors of this program and helping to keep free, independent, liberal, progressive media alive. It really is a big deal. We are 4 days away from being 18 years at this, and that still blows my mind. Also, if you are listening to the podcast, please be so kind as to like each and every episode wherever you download it, and maybe even leave a comment on the for the algorithms to read. It's got to be really dull being an algorithm, doing the same thing over and over and over again. So, yeah, give them something interesting. And it helps to grow the program. So thank you for that. And with all that being said, the fundraising goal is $1,655, or $1,695. And that's better than we dared dream. So $1,695 would be our end of the third full week of October Community Made Miracle. Anything we do to knock that down will be helpful. And go, hell, it all goes to the bills. It really does. It is miserable outside here. But Friday on the front porch, like I said. So here in about 45 minutes, we'll go over the river and through the trees to gather together in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, in which we keep the extraordinary, ordinary round table around which we gather every day, every Friday. There's a link at headon.live that'll carry you into the Skype group. It's right there on the main page. And you'll be part of what is really a fascinating conversation. And new voices are always welcome. So maybe consider participating this evening. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear the thoughts of this community. But like I said, it is it's just garbage outside. And it's a real shame because this is Bridge Day weekend. And last year's Bridge Day weekend was absolutely beautiful. A friend and I walked all over Fayetteville and stopped in and had snacks at the Mexican place downtown and checked out all the booths and the vendors. And God, I think I must have walked 10 or 15 miles that day. It's good for me because it is the largest single-day festival in the state of West Virginia. And even with the crap weather we're going to have tomorrow, probably still be 100,000 people out there. So I'm going to be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and do the best I can to be presentable and head out. I guess I'll be by myself because Annette does not want to fight the crowds, and I don't blame her. But that just it's so vibrant, and it really does show off this wonderful little area at its very best. And it's a shame to miss it. And the colors, well, I had to run down to the settlements for provisions earlier, and the colors are peak. I mean, when we get another pretty day, blue sky against all that gold and all that red and the purples, and it's quite striking. But I still maintain my anti-autumnal bias. Fear not, Darlene. No. It's still a sign that everything's dying. And Baby Watch continues. Mama down in Tennessee is feeling like it could happen at any time. So I don't know. Maybe little Luna will be a good girl and show up on the weekend. It remains to be seen. I hope you enjoyed last night's conversation that Tara Devlin and I had. Sitting in for Malloy. We're doing it again this evening, and we'll be back on Monday as well, assuming that I'm not in Tennessee. Flavio. Habemus parlatorum. Oh, I love a good Latin joke at the beginning of the program. A picture of a port-a-john with smoke coming out. Black smoke indicates no new speaker. Oh, we'll get to all of that. Yeah. Habemus parlatorum. Nerd humor. Thank you, Flavio. That just made my evening. It's not so bad, says Lee in New York. A lawyer named Powell pleaded guilty in court. A cheese bro pleaded guilty in court without a bro in sight. An orange-faced human is getting red-faced. Okay, your two tin cans and a string internet is flaky. Others have worse days, but they deserve it. Right. Deserving's got nothing to do with it. Huh. Yeah, so that's 3 down, 16 to go. And at this rate, Nitwit Nero may be sitting at the defense table all by his lonesome. Which would be, it doesn't bother me. And all of those non-Democrats will be taking the stand. All those good Republicans. All of those good maggots. Having learned the errors of their way, will take the stand. And based on the proffer of evidence in Kenneth Cheesebro's hearing today, I think, granted, it'll take a freaking forklift to do it, but it sounds to me like Nitwit Nero is going under the bus. And somewhere, Rudy Giuliani is drinking cheap scotch out of a straw. Cutty Sark. Just guzzling it. Got a whole Jeroboam turned upside down in a gravity feed. Stephen, New York. A $13 challenge. There are 13 letters in Schadenfreude. In honor of my Schadenfreude for our favorite NAMBLA-adjacent Congress critter, old Jim Shorts Jordan. Yeah, I've been thinking about that phrase all day. NAMBLA-adjacent speaker candidate. Oh, it always happens this time of year. Sorry to hear that, Randy Radar. The heat pump is malfunctioning here, but they're sending someone to fix it tonight, supposedly. I've been using electric heat only this week. Ouch. Yeah, that's the kind of thing that makes an old style electric meter spin like a carnival pinwheel. I know a little bit about that. We're just running a couple of space heaters at this point. But yeah, 13 letters in Schadenfreude. Thank you, Steve. So if somebody wants to kick in $13, that'll make 26, and we'll be down to 1679. That's just a little more than, not quite 40 years after one of my ancestors first got here and landed in Roxbury, Massachusetts, having traversed the Atlantic on a vessel called the Elizabeth Ann. So, was a busy day. Shitty day for Jim Shorts Jordan. He lost even worse today than he did before in the first two ballots. And then they went into the carcass and carcassed for a while. And they had a secret ballot to see who... Now, there's more support for Jim than we thought there were. No, there wasn't. That skeevy, reactionary, insurrectionist, domestic terrorist baboon from Ohio. Don't send me an email telling me not to insult baboons. I'll take it up with them later. He only got 86 votes out of his entire caucus saying, yeah, run, Jim, run, far, far away, run. And so we're back at square zero. And thus far, my theory holds true. Namely, that they don't want a speaker. And this is just a not-so-clever charade. Ha-ha, charade you are. Not-so-clever charade. Oh, come on, Robin, charade. To cover their tracks in the fact that they want the government to shut down in the middle of November. Not going to give up on this until they prove me wrong. So I guess we're back to square one with Hobbit McHenry. God, that gavel makes him look so tiny. And yet somehow it didn't make Nancy Pelosi look tiny. Well, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe Bowtie Boy and, because he's from North Carolina, right? And Miss Lindsay's from South Carolina, and Miss Lindsay's a hobbit. I tower over Miss Lindsay. And Monday. Yeah, I mean, probably an afternoon session on Monday because it'll be a travel day. 86 votes. Steve says, let's not forget that that is far less than a majority of even his own caucus. Yeah, nobody likes him. And they particularly don't like the tactics of his supporters. I ran across I ran across an actual explanation of what it was that was said to the spouse of one MAGA member of Congress who didn't want to vote for Jim Jordan. They had a voicemail in a segment on CNN and actually played the portion of the voicemail.
Pledging to stay in the race for House Speaker despite two failed votes this week. The House expected to hold that third vote today at 10 a.m. Eastern time, and Jordan met with some of the Republican holdouts yesterday, still trying to win them over in his bid to become Speaker.
This guy refuses to lose, and that's okay. I find that to be very good. But there's some point that we're going to have to move forward, and we can't keep the country shut down.
Joining us now, our congressional correspondent, Lauren Fox. Lauren, good morning to you. Interesting that he's going to hold this press conference. Is it an effort to try to sway some of those folks like Kelly we just heard from, or just to update the American people?
Yeah, Poppy, this is an uphill climb, though. His intention for this press conference this morning is really to try and rally support that up until this point he has been unable to garner with some of those members behind closed doors. You saw Mike Kelly there. He is a Republican from Pennsylvania who me and my colleague Manu Raju spoke to yesterday after that closed door meeting with Jim Jordan. But a source who was in the room for that meeting told me that the message from members who met with him, some of those holdouts, was there is no path for you to become Speaker. The person told me that the message they meant to deliver in that room was it's over. Move on. Clearly, Jim Jordan is not taking that message to heart. He's going to have this press conference this morning. Then the intention is to go to the floor at 10 a.m. And one of his closest allies, Warren Davidson, tweeted last night that members should be prepared to stay on the floor all weekend and continue voting. Whether or not that comes to pass, of course, remains to be seen. But it just shows you, Poppy, that despite the fact that, yes, there are many members telling Jim Jordan to move on, he's not taking that.
Go away.
Lauren, what do we know about the threats? So many of the members that are very clearly opposed have been citing threats to themselves, threats to their family members. What do we know?
Yeah, Phil, I'm so glad you brought this up, because I think one of the things that people don't realize who aren't on the Hill every day is just how raw the nerves are for these Republican members, in part because now this is extending not just to themselves, but to their families. I want you to take a listen to a message that was left to a wife of a congressman who voted against Jim Jordan. Here it is.
Warmongering people. So listen. You're going to keep getting calls and emails. I'm putting all your information over the internet now, everybody else's, and you will not be left alone because your husband, Jim Jordan, or more conservative, or you're going to be molested like you can't ever imagine. And again, nonviolently.
And I mean, just listening to the vitriol in that message, members are getting calls, their staff are getting calls. And I think one thing to keep in mind here, I talked to Representative Don Bacon. He said that he had talked to his wife and she had gotten a series of terrible calls the night before last. And he said he called her in the morning to check in on her. And she said that she had slept okay because she had a loaded gun. I mean, that tells you just...
Well, to be fair, Don Bacon is from Nebraska, and Mrs. Bacon probably sleeps with a loaded gun every night. I don't necessarily know that she keeps it under the pillow. I don't know if she carries hot in the pipe or if it's a Glock. I don't know any of that, but these are maggots, okay? Of course she sleeps with a loaded gun. Hell, it may be foreplay with those people. I don't know. But I'm not discounting the ugliness that they're experiencing. And ever since I first heard this clip, I've been trying to sort out how one gets nonviolently molested. Anybody? I mean, the guy admitted to doxing her. One hopes that maybe some law enforcement agency might be interested in finding him. Yeah, maybe they'll SWAT the Bacon residence next. But is anyone surprised by this? Even remotely? It's who they are. That's all. This is the heart of maggotdom. Nitwit Nero got fined $5,000 just a little bit ago in Manhattan, in the Supreme Court of New York for Manhattan, where Justice Engoron is presiding over his fraud trial. $5,000, but you know the Justice Engoron did say, "Look, I can sanction you. I can send you to jail because of the fact that he flaunted the October 3rd gag order, partial gag order. He's gagging on his partial that the judge imposed on Nitwit Nero over a toxic, threatening post that he made about the justice's clerk. Told him to take it down. Told him to take it down immediately. He didn't take it down. And then, because he's a pissant who can't take responsibility for any of his own actions, his pettifogger pled in court that, well, you know, the Trump campaign is a very large machine. And the judge wouldn't have any of that either. He said, I don't care how big the machine is. It's still his, and the buck stops with him. So there's another thing for him to appeal. Although appealing a $5,000 fine, well, he may wind up not even having the $5,000. May not have it now.
You got $5,000 I can borrow. Jared, can I borrow $5,000? Ten, really? Because I'm gonna have to put that in escrow, the $5,000 in escrow, and then I'm gonna have to pay more money to the lawyers to appeal it.
By the way, his appeal of the gag order itself is going nowhere in a hurry. No matter how much table pounding takes place. Christopher in Oregon, jacket off, Jordan. No speaker for you. Jacket off, just asking the question. So you say there's still a chance. Answer back from the universe. Hell to the no. Either put on your jacket or put on your leotard. Happy Front Porch Friday, Horn family. Emilio noting, oh no, they're getting mean phone calls. It's not okay when it happens to Republicans. For the record, I'm against it happening to anyone. I'm just challenging the entitlement of IOKIYAR, or in this case, it's not okay when it happens to Republicans. I kind of wish they hadn't bleeped out the vulgarity, because, you know, America needs to hear. Truly, America needs to hear how vulgar these maggots are. And that wasn't an outlier, okay? Again, this is who they are. Maybe I have a problem with English, says Suman. It is, after all, my second language. Can someone please tell me how one can get molested nonviolently? The definition includes the word assault, for fuck's sake. In gentlemanly fashion, Sunan included asterisks, but well, I just assumed that was for fuck's sake. Yeah. Me either. And, you know, I'm a longtime practitioner of the art of wording, of knowing words, at least in English. Lee adds, speaker vacancy, I disagree with your conclusion. Opposition is deep in each Republican. They get what they want or they get nothing. They do not want to compromise. They have said this repeatedly. Believe them. The Freedom Caucus only want their power. Other Republicans do not want a Freedom Caucus member. There are many egos who will not be led.
They do not follow the indicted idiot. They fear opposing him. They do not fear anyone else. They are a party by name, Lee adds, but they are not unified on anything. Oh, now quit it. They hate Hunter Biden. And they hate Joe Biden. And they know that climate change isn't real. They believe that. Oh, there's lots of things they're unified on. They're just incapable of governing. It's so much more fun to just sit on the sidelines and carp. $5,000 for a fine. Lee says, I'm sure the MAGA hat wearers will open their wallets for an alleged billionaire. Not for very much longer, I don't think. Randy Radar says, you don't quite get how sociopaths work. There's initially a lot of heat, not much light, but over time they form a pecking order, sort of like hermit crabs lining up to get their new shells. By the way, sociopaths are narcissists who lie, and thus you get the GOP. Or GQP, as the case might be. But it has been a zany, zany day. Kenneth G's bro there, entering his guilty plea. Getting off easy. Misdemeanors. He and Squidney Powell. But it's a pretty fair trade if they both drop a rock on Nitwit Nero and his pal Rudy Man in a Dress Giuliani. And this morning, it never ceases to amaze me. My filthy morning habit. Once again, a phrase that I've used here a million times, and the facial expression, you know, unpaid product placement, but just the facial expressions of Jonathan Lemire are worth tuning in for.
A new series of surprising, chaotic developments. There is a new House vote for Speaker scheduled at 10 o'clock.
So that guy's supporters, by the way, let's just stop right
there. Election denier Jay Sixer.
Let's just stop right there. That guy,
yeah,
right there, his people are calling the wives, texting the wives of Republican members and threatening them. Ken Buck. Got a report that Ken Buck's lease in his local office got canceled because he didn't support Jim Jordan. Pressure is mounting from all over from right-wing freaks. Let me say it again. Right-wing freaks who are threatening.
Yeah, say it twice, Joe, so that everybody who listens to this program and have heard me call them right-wing freaks a million times can make sure and know that you're tuned in. Hi, Joe. Hi, Miko. Right-wing freaks. Mm-hmm. He's not wrong. Neither am I.
Threatening Republican members if they don't support a speaker. Now, listen, I'm not really good at politics, Willie. That's not really a good way to win friends and influence fellow members of Congress. In fact, in the words of Aristotle, be ye careful, ye may piss them off, which, of course, I had no idea ye was used in ancient Greek. But in this case, Aristotle did. And you know what?
I think he
was right.
Harassing people's wives as a political tactic, as a way to twist arms to get their votes.
That's a good one.
Who would have thought it's backfiring spectacularly on Jim Jordan? All these members are going public with these stories and saying there are people from his office or people working on his behalf, at least, threatening us. We've had to have extra security because I won't vote for Jim Jordan, an insurrectionist, a guy who won't admit that Joe Biden won the 2020 election. I don't know what he thinks his path is. He's not giving up the game, though, Mika. He's going to go up for another vote today. Few hours from now, actually, he thinks somehow this vote total is going to go up when, in fact, every time they go to a vote, he gets fewer votes, and it might be because of the harassment of members' loved ones.
Like who? Okay, the move comes nearly 24 hours after the Ohio congressman said he would support temporarily empowering interim speaker Patrick McHenry of North Carolina to take on the speaker's role until January, allowing legislative business to continue in the face of two wars and a looming government shutdown.
But Jonathan Lemire, within a couple of hours, Republicans got together. And this portion of the Republican caucus being stupid as they are politically, so stupid, we're like saying that would be like turning the floor over to the Democrats. That would be another one, like waiving his constitution, said it would be unconstitutional. I didn't know what is North Carolina like a breakaway republic?
Is regular order unconstitutional?
Why would it be turning the floor over to Democrats if you gave the speakership temporarily to a Republican
so that things could
from North Carolina so things could run effectively, they could pass appropriation bills, and the Republican Party would not get further like battered by all of this, and America could speak with one voice on terror attacks.
Yeah, McHenry not from Cambridge or Brooklyn. He's from North Carolina, and there is a surreal sense of whiplash.
Ow.
What happened yesterday in the House of Representatives, where Jordan didn't have the votes, decided he would throw his support behind the McHenry maneuver to temporarily increase his powers. Jordan himself talking to reporters saying this is what we're going to do. Then behind closed doors, as you just alluded to, a lot of dissent about this. Also a lot of anger at the eight Republicans who ousted Kevin McCarthy in the first place. In fact, screaming at Matt Gaetz, one member threatened to take a swing at him while they were behind closed doors.
Gosh.
Then they realized they don't have the support from McHenry. Jordan comes back out, says, well, we'll try it again. Word then leaks that McHenry might quit, that he's not going to do this role any longer if it doesn't go through certain procedures. And we end up worse than where we started. And there is no path. There's no one suspects, Willie, that Jordan will have the votes to get through it today. And then it becomes, well, how many more rounds of voting does he want to put up with? How many more rounds of voting do his fellow Republicans allow him? What happens this weekend? Does anyone else step forward? Does McHenry get convinced to try it again? It's chaos. And it comes against the backdrop of the President of the United States last night addressing the nation saying we need to help our allies and we can't.
And with due regard from an ancient children's program, and what about Naomi? And this is, this was all before the session was gaveled in this morning. And I don't think they even understood how bad it would get for Jim Shorts. So now they're going to talk about this empowerment movement again. And I differ with Joe Scarborough. I don't know that it is constitutional. But really, it's not one to take to the courts, it's one to take to the Rules Committee. And as we talked about yesterday, the Rules Committee has twice as many Republicans on it as Democrats. And so if that's what they want, that's what they will have. But Hobbit McHenry doesn't seem to particularly relish the role. I mean, it's kind of like being picked last in kickball, isn't it? We'll give it to Kevin. Liked him. He put him in the envelope. So yeah, here we are. But presumably there was more than one name than Patrick McHenry there. Patrick McHenry just agreed to do it. And where's the coverage of the ejection of Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer from their courtesy offices in the Capitol? Did that get rescinded? Or did that go on and continue? And Well, of course, as always, the cruelty is the point. Matt in San Francisco noting, as Tara always says, they lack the fundamental maturity to function in a democratic society, let alone run it. And she's right. You know, we talk off air and from time to time when we're recovering from Malloy, and that has been a central tenet of our ongoing discussions these last couple of days. They can't govern because they can't govern. Redundant, one might think, but not in this case. They can't govern because they don't want to govern. They can't govern because they don't know how to govern. But the bottom line is, they can't govern. And then there's, Representative Austin Powers, congressional man of mystery, who has to get a civics lesson from CNN's Manu Raju. This was cute.
You're on air. You have been very, very upset at the way the all of this has gone down here. What do you say to the people who had started this, the eight Republicans who initially voted out Kevin McCarthy at this moment?
Same thing I say to the 208 Democrats that voted with those eight Republicans. It was a dangerous game that was being played. The consequences are real for the country.
Oh,
if men
it's
are
our
angels,
fault
we
again.
We need the government, as you know. But men aren't angels, and we need the United States House of Representatives to open. And so certainly we have eight Republicans that are guilty, but there are 208 Democrats that voted with them to put us in this position. And now, we have to come up with another speaker nominee.
But you guys can't even get behind a speaker nominee. Republicans are so badly divided about this. Why?
We're upset about what happened, right? Because 208 Democrats voted with eight Republicans to remove the Speaker of the House and put us in the current position that we're in. That's what happened. They took out the largest Republican fundraiser that House Republicans have ever had. So it did a tremendous amount of damage.
Oh, there's what he's upset about. It hurt the money. Oh, that's nice. Steve in New York. Patrick McHenry, he's the Bob Uecker of the GOP. A shitty thing to say about... Or maybe the Marvelous Marv Throneberry of the GOP, Old Stonefingers. And apparently the internet is blipping. Thank you, Micah, and thank you, Steve in New York, for letting me know. But, God, they're going to hammer on that. The Democrats did this to us thing until, you know, maybe somebody starts believing it. It's just big lie theory. Repeat the lie over and over and over again, and it will eventually become the truth. And they just can't cope with the fact that that motion to vacate was a self-inflicted wound by the greatest fundraiser this Congress has ever known. He's a lie hopper. He let it happen on purpose. He gave his testicles to Matt at Just Gates Worse and let him keep it in a let him keep him in an old Gerber's baby food jar in the back of Marginal Trailer Queen's refrigerator. Emilio, because money? I has sad. Wah, wah, wah. Yeah, Randy Rader. And the Jack in the Box comes out of his house. Romper room. Jack in the Box just scared the hell out of me when I was little. Austin Scott, a Republican of Georgia, not Austin Powers, congressional man of mystery. Robin, stop that.
Damaged our party. It did a tremendous amount of damage to our conference. There's a tremendous amount of resentment among the different groups in the conference. And so the resentment is something we've got to work through. Hopefully we have a nominee on Tuesday and can go to the floor, and hopefully we can get that person across the floor.
Well, tell us, Austin, let's talk about your resentment. Let's unpack that a little bit. How do you feel about all that resentment?
That person.
It'll be up to the conference to make the determination on who's going to represent us on the floor.
How does this make the Republican Party look right now?
I think it makes Congress as a whole look very bad. It makes Congress as a whole look very bad. The Democrats have had a lot of fun with it, but the fact of the matter is 208 Democrats voted with 8 Republicans. The Democrats are not innocent in this. They're not.
But Matt Gaetz and the Republicans started this.
But Matt Gaetz has very personal differences with Kevin McCarthy.
So? Devil Lance Hatfield had very personal differences with whatever his name was, McCoy. But, you know, it was them. Randall McCoy. Because like their God Emperor, they simply cannot stand to have to take responsibility for who and what they are. Okay, so next question. Who then?
So it was very personal differences, not legislative differences, that led to this. And when he brought the motion, and he was the person that brought the motion, the end result of it is a very dangerous position that we're in as a country. So we're going to have conference on Monday. We will have different candidates running, and then we will have a vote Tuesday morning inside the conference to come up with a Republican nominee, and then hopefully we'll be on the floor shortly after lunch.
So if you're so with me here,
it's about to get even funner because here comes masculine man of masculine masculinity, Chip Roy of Dribbling Dick, Texas. Darlene in Connecticut asking, for fuck's sake, don't you get it, Robin? I think I do. The ultra-maggot party being unable to get its collective shit together is the Democrats' fault, of course, was our fault before it all went south, is now and forever shall be. Who'd have thunk it? An entire party of narcissists. Narcissists are never at fault. They're always the victim. Someone else is always responsible for what the narcissist has brought down upon themselves. I guess I'm just a little slow, Darlene. Maybe it's because it's autumn and the light is failing. Matt in San Francisco, the call is coming from inside the House, so you want us to believe that if the exact thing happens in reserve and Nancy Pelosi in reverse and Nancy Pelosi was Speaker, that the Republicans would have put country over party and wouldn't vote Pelosi out? Give me a break. Oh, hell no, Matt. They would have voted her out and then ridden her out of town on a rail. I mean, remember, their supporters were the ones rampaging through the Capitol on January 6th looking for her to try to murder her and Mike Pence. They brought their own gallows. Yeah, that, Randy Radar. But it's all Biden's fault. Yes, the classic track from Jimmy Buffett, you know, Margaritaville. He sings, "But I know," and there's a couple of different faults, and then at the end he goes, "But I know, it could be my fault." It's a process. They haven't gotten through yet, and they're still trying to make political hay out of the fact that the Democrats wouldn't be mommy to them and save them, you know, after they had licked their finger and stuck it in the light socket and shorted out the House. Wait, they shorted out the House.
Here, let's try. Congressman Roy, how big of a mistake was it for the Republicans who voted to oust Kevin McCarthy about a plan here?
I think he could have stopped with at oust McCarthy, and without a plan is a bit superfluous, really. Oh, but Chip Roy, he's got an answer. He's forceful.
Yeah, I'm not going to go down that road. That's been asked and answered, right? I didn't support the motion to vacate. I supported Jim Jordan wholeheartedly. I think it was a mistake for the Republican conference to just walk away from arguably the most popular Republican in the Republican Party. So
hold on. If Jim Jordan is the most popular Republican in the Republican Party, what does that say about, just generally speaking, what does that say about the popularity of the Republican Party? An old NAMBLA-adjacent wrestling coach who looked the other way when young men, hundreds of young men, were being raped at The Ohio State University, and that's the most popular man in the Republican Party? God, I hope Nitwit Nero doesn't see this clip. He'll be hate-triping Chip Roy. And Chip Roy loves him some Donald Trump.
We shouldn't have done that. We just did. So now we're going to go back.
So who's going to be the candidate now?
You think I'm going to start positing that? I'll tell you what, I'll pick somebody. I definitely don't want to be speaker, and I'll mention that name.
Why is it so hard?
What a lovely little dig at the press. I'll pick someone I don't want and mention that name. Because it's apparently media's fault, too. It's your fault. It's my fault. It's our fault. It's the media's fault. It's the Democrats' fault. It's Nancy Pelosi's fault. It's Hunter Biden's fault. Hey, Tom in sunny San Rafael. It's the Democrats' fault. Wonder how many pig lickings voted for Nancy Pelosi. See, you and Matt were hive minding there out there on right out there on the in the Bay Area. Just the telepathic waves, just zipping around. I wish someone would say this, says Steve. It's your caucus who can't stay together. Why the hell should the Democrats have bailed out your candidate? Remember this. There's plenty of dissent in the Democratic caucus. Think of the Progressive caucus. And she kept the caucus together. And Hakeem Jeffries has done the same thing.
Hard for the GOP to get their act together here.
Look, I've answered this before. You can agree or you can disagree. We have our Democratic colleagues will not work with us on a single thing to secure the border. Not one thing. In any
You're the ones who can't get behind a candidate here.
No, hold on. So,
it's about it's the border's fault. Son of a gun. You know, if this guy, we're going to find out who all's fault this is. But it's not Chip Roy of Gonorrhea Gulch, Texas's fault. That's for sure. And it's not Jim Jacketoff Jordan's fault. And it's, I don't know. He's probably a lot. It may be Patrick McHobbit's fault.
So what we're doing is we're having a debate among the 221 who are willing to actually have a debate about the things our people care about. And some of that spills out in public. And you know what? It's a hell of a lot better than having a decision made by the Kremlin and foisted upon you. We are laying this all out.
There are those of us who aren't sure that this isn't a decision made at the Kremlin and foisted upon us. Oh, here's whose fault it is. Steve in New York. Thanks, Obama. Yes.
Out in public view, and the American people can see it. It is the sausage getting made. It's the worst system except for all the others.
You think this looks good?
I mean, look, having the American people be able to see how we are wrestling with the tough decisions and what we're trying to do and doing it with intensity and doing it because we care about this country. And God bless all of these people who put their names forward, all of the stuff that we're wrestling with, because it's a hell of a lot better than the way the rest of the world has always done it.
Yep. The only problem is they're not wrestling with any great consequential decisions of our time. They're trying to pick a homecoming king. And I just keep thinking about who's next. They haven't. Could they? I mean, it's the maggot party. Could they run Elise Stupidnik up the flagpole and see if anybody salutes? Would she want it? Of course she would want it. Are you kidding me? How about, is Virginia Double X Fox still in the Congress? How about Marge? Or Clanny Oakley? See, I don't think Jim Jacketoff Jordan's the most popular Republican in the country. I think the most popular maggot in the country is Marge. She's certainly the one of the leading lights of fundraising, and apparently that's a standard. Although she did charge Craven McCarthy $10,000 for her vote. Tough decisions, asks Matt in San Francisco. Since when has picking a leader been so rough? Well, when you can't pick out where to order lunch, it's a sliding scale, Matt. Oh, wait a minute. Steve's bringing his A game this evening. Decisions made by the Kremlin. Someone's been talking to Lois in Staten Island. This is nothing more than Democrats or communists. And lemons. Lemon communists. Yeah. It boggles the mind. And they're all like that. Lauren Boebert, vote for me, get a hand job. Steve. I mean, you're probably not wrong. I wonder if she'd get behind Ted Cruz for speaker. You know, they could always reach over into the Senate and ask a senator to be their speaker. Nah. But when you're getting schooled by Manu Raju, you have problems. Darlene notes, Chip did not use the word wrestling with. When we're talking about Jacketoff trying to be speaker, damn, the goddess is working overtime. And all the world is football-shaped. It's just for me to kick in space. And I can see, hear, feel, touch, taste. And I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 senses working overtime. Oh. XTC was a great band. Lee in New York, serving as the Virginia Double X Fox Horn Ad Hoc Research Department, says, yes, she's still in Congress. She's 80 years old. But yes, Chip did say wrestling. And I don't think he used it intentionally. I think he was just having his pink little tomato nose tweaked by the goddess of irony, Darlene. Matt says, Republicans, at this point, I'm impressed that they don't show up for work wearing their own. At this point, I'm impressed that they don't show up for work wearing their underwear on the outsides of their suits. You know, those sporty racing stripes, right, Matt? Well, there went dinner in the Central Daylight Time Zone. Dishes just got cleared in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. Good heavens. And this story may get a little traction next couple of days. I don't know, but in Montgomery County, Maryland, a circuit court judge by the name of Andrew Wilkinson was blown away in his own driveway last night. And that's chilling. He was appointed to the bench by former Republican Maryland Governor Larry Hogan. He lived in Hagerstown. And now there is a search on for a suspect in the killing. No, curiously enough, they're not the... Well, just work with me here. They think the murderer, the assassin, was a guy who had just lost a contentious child custody case in front of Judge Wilkinson. That would be not at all surprising. But don't be surprised either when the messaging around this involves maggots screaming, "This is what happens when you attack the judiciary like those goddamn liberals are attacking a decent and honorable and honest man like Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Fappy Thomas. Remember how they how a man tried to kill Brett Kavanaugh? Only he didn't, and he turned himself in because he didn't want to hurt anybody." Yeah. But the other question no one will ask is along the lines of why did this guy have a gun? They're looking for 49-year-old Pedro Argote. For what they're calling a targeted attack. Cue the shrieks and screeches of, "He sure do got a funny name." And it wasn't a child custody case. It was a divorce case in which the judge ruled against the gunman, the suspected gunman. Law enforcement have said they presume the guy to be armed and dangerous. But, well, the cops did note the assassin, the alleged assassin, was that darling of the National Rifle Association. That's right. A lawful gun owner. He was a lawful gun owner, you see, until his finger on the trigger traveled the necessary distance to engage the firing mechanism. And it's not much of a distance at all, really. And that's what transformed him from a lawful gun owner into just an awful gun owner. Curiously, the alleged gunman wasn't even present in court for the divorce hearing. Washington County Sheriff Brian Albert went on to say that, yeah, in fact, the judge had awarded custody of the children to his wife, and that's why the murder took place. He was actually the plaintiff and brought the divorce case in June of 2022. At least in Washington County, he did not have a criminal record. But as is so often the case, the cops had shown up at the home in response to verbal domestic assaults two times in the last few years. The guardian ad litem for the kids in the case had kind words for Judge Wilkinson. He was an amazing man, father, husband, and judge, and I am blessed to have known and worked with him. He's a hero. That lawyer's name is Ashley Wilburn. Lawyers for the other two parties, the adults, the man and the husband and wife, have not issued any statements. But we can't be taking people's guns away just because they decide to murder the judge who ruled against them. No, we couldn't do that. That'd just be wrong. He needed that gun, damn it. Lee answering the question, why did he have a gun? He had a God-given right put in the Constitution by Jesus. If his gun could be taken away, Obama would take everybody's guns. It's obvious. Yeah, I know. This is Merca, says Randy Radar. You get a gun, and you get a gun, and you get a gun. That's how he got a gun. You're not wrong, Randy Radar. Going back to the guilty plea by Kenneth Cheesebro. Cheesebro. David in South Carolina, Stan says, I don't know why I immediately went into a John Belushi impression when I heard that Cheesebro pleaded guilty. I did, though. Cheeseburger, Cheesebro. Pepsi, no Coke. And I had a note from Baltimore Bob. He said, and then there were 16. Rumor has it that when Kenneth Cheesebro showed up for his mugshot, the photographer said, say cheese, bro, courtesy of Stephanie Miller. Yeah, that's a subset of cheeseheads, you know, Packers fans. And I had a lovely note from Norman out in Wisconsin, speaking of the Packers. White Rose Podcast, thank you for getting the podcast back on the White Rose Society website. This is the only podcast I can listen to with my first-generation iTouch. The other sources, including the head-on website, don't work as my iTouch lacks enough memory, and the operating system is way out of date and can't be updated because of not enough memory. I can access the podcast on my desktop computer, but I listen in bed at night when my desktop is in the office. I understand. And Norman says, Robin, you have a great oratory gift that needs to be heard by more people. I spread the word whenever the opportunity arises. Thank you, Norman. That's so sweet. Thank you so very much. That's kind. And so I have filler-obstered into the second hour of the program, but I was late to the microphone, so this is about an hour's worth of filler-obster. I would think that this would be an appropriate time to go over the river and through the woods to the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, gather around the extraordinary, ordinary round table, and if someone would be so kind as to get the call started, we'll get the front porch conversation started. Remember, you can take part in Friday on the Front Porch. There's a very easy button at the top of headon.live that'll carry you right in. And we'll see where the conversation takes us. Let me see here. I wanted to. Okay, let's check in. Are you there, Roger?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, wait a minute. Let's see if you're... The cord was being funny. Let's see if I have you now.
I'm still here.
Okay, I'm not... There we are. I think you're in the... I've got the iPad into the desk now, so that's good.
And I'm still here.
Yes, so you're going to be back to bud trimming again soon?
Yeah, but apparently I didn't have to get involved with the hanging of the crop because it's a lot less than it's been in previous years, partly due to less things planted and partly due to early rain.
So not quite so labor intensive?
Yeah, not as much of it to deal with. I don't know. I haven't been down to the farm and seen how full the racks are or anything of that sort. But historically, there would be people out in the field harvesting, and they'd bring them to the little barn. And then my wife and I would sit there and hang stalks on the drying racks. And then the dehumidifiers get turned on. A couple of weeks later, it's time to strip off the buds from the stalks and clean and do all that stuff. And apparently the previous years, it's been a kind of an early harvest, then fill up the drying room and put in a couple of dehumidifiers to get it dry really quick, and then take it down and start dealing with it while bringing in more crop and hanging it to dry and all that. And apparently the harvest this year didn't need the two or three stage process and filling up more and more racks. There's about 100 8-foot by 8-foot racks that get filled when everything's there. And sometimes that's not enough and that gets into the other things. So I don't know. We'll find out. But my first day of work was supposed to be tomorrow. And my wife came and told me that tomorrow got canceled, and I looked at her with a strange look on my face. She said, "Oh, down at the farm." I go, "Oh, that's better than tomorrow being canceled." So I kind of wondered what was going to happen tomorrow if it got canceled. So anyhow, so it's not bud trimmer emeritus anymore. It's back to active bud trimmer.
Okay. Well, I'm curious, in that drying room, does it get fairly aromatic?
Does it smell like a skunk? Yeah.
Okay, that's another way of putting it. Yeah.
Anyhow, I had some thoughts over this Jim Jordan fiasco that's going on right now.
Oh, do please.
Along about 1980 or thereabouts, wasn't there a guy that said they wanted to shrink government down to where they could drown it in a bathtub?
That was Grover Norquist, and I think it's later than the 80s.
Well, I think it's one of Reagan's sidekicks, but anyhow.
Oh, he was. Grover Norquist.
They started managing to destroy public education about that time in one way or another. And they have been working through the regular legislative process to continue on that. And we know that 45... decided he wanted to become dictator. And that was the whole fiasco on January 6th. But the Republicans have been taking a little bit of heat from the people who are still educated over the destruction of the federal government. And I, not being a conspiracy theorist or anything of that sort, but I think they have now come up with a way to totally destroy the government of the United States of America and blame it on the Democrats. Because this whole spiel that's being put out, from McCarthy being booted, is being blamed on the Democrats. The inability to elect a speaker right now is being blamed on the Democrats. But the longer that they can hold out and not have a Speaker of the House, they have effectively destroyed the government of the United States. They have made it so seriously ill that unless some medication is provided by the 20 or so Republicans who refuse to vote for Jim Jordan, and they can't come up with anybody else that the Freedom Caucus will support, they have managed to paralyze the government.
Yes. That's why I've been saying it's basically a constructive shutdown.
Yeah. It's no longer we won't pass a budget and defund the government and that kind of stuff. They've upped their game now to a total shutdown. Because, as we know, the Constitution says that any money bill must originate in the House. The president can request, the Senate can request, but the bill actually has to initiate in the House of Representatives. And money is the food upon which our government exists. And if you cut off the food, the government dies. I know that if I was an air traffic control person, since I had a job when I was looking for the job I got, and I was looking at along about the middle of next month, that they were expecting me to go to work, and I still would not have enough money to pay the rent, buy any Christmas presents for my kids, or even eat, I would not stay going to work every day and not getting paid. I would find a new job just for my family's survival.
Yeah.
And I just see this as a incredibly underhanded way of completing the drowning in the bathtub of the government.
Sure. And it's got a nice dash of potential union busting in there too, Roger.
Yeah, well, that's another whole round of bullshit.
Yeah, air traffic controllers walk. What happens what happens if TSA walks? Does that ground all flights?
Probably.
And what happens? Here's another.
Well, if it doesn't ground all flights, it opens the window for bad actors to resume their activities, because unlike El Al, our cockpit doors were never hardened.
Great. And think about the border. If let's say customs or the border patrol, let's say they walk, then that makes it more likely that somebody like Greg Aspott will use the National Guard to further militarize the border. You know, he got slapped down the other day for the razor wire he's trying to stretch all along the New Mexico border, the Texas border with New Mexico.
I hadn't heard about that.
Oh, yeah. See, when he got spanked for putting those razor wire barrels in the Rio Grande and federal officials came and took them away, then he said, well, they're coming through New Mexico. So he put a razor wire barrier between Texas and New Mexico. And once again, a judge has said, no, that's unconstitutional.
I was going to say, isn't there something about maybe the 10th Amendment? Where we're able to travel about in the United States with no impediments border to border?
Pretty much.
Hey, Robin, when was the last time Aspott or Death Sentence gave two shits about the Constitution?
Well, there is that, Christopher. Never.
Hi. Happy Friday. Hey, going back to the TSA, you know, with the Middle East basically on fire right now, and Hezbollah and Iran kind of sitting on the sidelines waiting to see what would happen. Going back to the TSA, wouldn't this be really good timing, including with the holidays coming up, for sleeper cells to wake up?
Perhaps, yes.
Right? And if we have no TSA, we have no air traffic controllers. Yeah, a lot of bad things. It sets the stage, at least, for a lot of bad things.
But remember, it's the Democrats' fault.
Oh, yeah.
You better get your AR-15, Chris, and be flying with a hang glider here pretty quick.
I gotta learn how to do that.
Jesus, these people. Oh, but by the way, it is getting hotted up a little bit. I was not encouraged by a story I saw out of ABC News, I think yesterday, late last night. The USS Kearney is cruising in the northern Red Sea right now. It's a guided missile frigate. And the USS Kearney shot down multiple missiles and drones. It's kind of important to note that the multiple missiles and drones were not targeted upon the Kearney. Okay? The Kearney was not under threat. The theory was that Houthi rebels in Yemen launched them, and that they potentially were aimed at Israel.
Huh.
And so that is an active, or that's an affirmative step to actively defend Israeli assets by the United States military. And of course the claim is that the Houthi rebels are funded and proxies for Iran. They at God only knows what cost to the United States, the USS Kearney brought down 8 drones. Is that worrisome?
And those drones and missiles were fired from Yemen and were northbound, i.e. headed to Israel, when the actions occurred. But they would have been brought down either over the sea or over Saudi Arabia, which means there was shrapnel landing on the ground in Saudi Arabia.
That you would say, yeah. And of course, wow, that was loud. I'm just looking at a map, and it's in. What's the range of those drones? Because Yemen is at the far southern end of the Arabian Peninsula, and it's all the way up the Red Sea to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, when we think of drones, we're thinking of those little camera drones that people fly around in parks. When the military talks about drones, they are aircraft that they simply remove the pilot and put in a computer. And in the Iraq War, a lot of the drones that were being flown, the people that were flying them were sitting in a compound in Florida.
Well, I thought somewhere I read it was Las Vegas, but same.
So is a Predator simply a drone, or is it a plane or a hybrid? What is it?
It's a plane without a pilot.
Okay.
But it's like a glider with an engine on it that can hold Hellfire missiles. But it's huge. Its wingspan is the same span of a jet fighter. It's not a small plane. It's a big thing. So when you think of a drone, it's not small. It's the size of an F-35.
Okay. Well, that's enlightening to me. Thank you.
And what's the range of an F-35?
We'd probably say a few thousand miles without fill-ups. Easy. I mean, they can get from here to Florida with afterburners in like 50 minutes. So easily 1,500 miles, I bet.
Well, it's worrisome. because that, you know, that means we're taking an active, that means we're taking some level of active participation in somebody else's war.
Well, yeah, but isn't America...
all we're doing is helping Israel with the Iron Dome.
Wouldn't the Iron Dome have caught it?
Well, the Iron Dome definitely has... now we're getting into real conspiracy shit. I think the Iron Dome has a level of attack that can simply be overwhelmed. And my thoughts are that when they got into, busted out of Gaza and went into southern Israel, the Iron Dome-ish effect was simply overwhelmed. And I wonder how they found out what it would take to overwhelm the Iron Dome and who provided them with that information.
They went to Jared?
No, they went to Pooty.
Oh, okay. But isn't America pretty much just a life support system for the state of Israel now?
They went to Donald.
There you are, Kevin.
Oh, boy. I'm getting a little sick of this house.
This thing is crazy. It's such a joke.
Two hostages were released.
That's right.
I saw that.
And they were from
Evanston.
Yeah, I was going to say they were from the greater Chicagoland area. They'd been visiting friends on a kibbutz near the Gaza border.
I can't even imagine what they saw.
Yeah.
I can't even. And I'll tell you what, Steve Schmidt's got a good rant up on Substack. He's got some good ones. He's got a good one right now. He put up today earlier about, made reference to Roosevelt and Churchill and what they had to do to keep things, you know, from getting out of control and bad actors back then, similar to the bad actors now. And how we're, you know, Biden kind of mentioned it last night that, you know, we're at that point and our own government, not our own government, I'm sorry, bad actors in our own. Yeah, I mean, treasonous. They want to blow up the United States. There's just no question about it. I mean, who else would be doing this?
Purposeful.
Shit? Who else would be doing? I mean, come on. You know, they know what they're doing. I mean, look, we've been through this a million times. So I don't want to. Anyway.
Blaming the Democrats. Repeat the lie. Over and over.
But yep. Where's the evidence of the Democrats doing anything like that? They never have any evidence.
It doesn't matter. It does matter.
Evidence? Yeah. They don't need no stinking evidence.
Yeah.
Just like Hillary, lock her up. Why? Well, it doesn't matter why.
Because we said so. Oh, it sounds good.
Like Giuliani. Right, yeah. And that's like Giuliani when he screamed. When you scream at election fraud, they said, do you have any evidence? No. That's all he said. We don't have evidence. We just have rumors. And that's why judges slapped them down and laughed at them.
It's what they want to hear. You know, they want to hear it, so they'll believe it. Was it Hermann Göring? He said it, right? Was it Göring or which one was it?
Or Goebbels. I can't remember if it was Göring or Goebbels who said it.
You know, they just said the same thing. So you tell these people what they want to hear and tell them over and over again, they'll believe you. And it's been like that for, it's not just Germany, and it's go back, I don't know, whatever civilization. So.
Who's going to send the states their Medicaid money, their education money from the government when it's shut down? Like the poor little red states are going to get broke.
They don't care about their constituents, though, their people in the red states.
No, they don't care about the poor ones. They can hang fire.
Yeah.
They can hang, well, they have to get their bribes from the government, you know.
I would have said that it would have been way back in the day. Ed McMahon would bring the check, but I think he's no longer
very busy right now.
Shouldn't you call now?
Jesus. Oh, and the drone strikes have also apparently been launched at U.S. assets in Iraq and Syria, because we have troops on the ground there.
Pouring out here. Rain in there, Robin?
Yeah. Yes.
Jeremy?
Deluge. Gotcha.
Yeah, pouring. Today and tomorrow.
Coming this way. It's supposed to pour today and tomorrow all day long.
Yeah. Heavy rain. Yeah. Yeah. I lucked out and didn't really
start. Which is great for mowing leaves.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, the leaves get smashed and when it dries out, you go out there and get the lawnmower to cut them up. I got the double-bladed Honda. It does a pretty good job on them, on the leaves. Just a 24-inch walk behind, self-propelled. It's not right. I'll tell you what, though. It's the best mower I've ever had. I paid a little extra for it, but it's worth every penny. Starts every full. I run a high test in it, you know, 93 octane. Change the oil every year.
I went out and spent the better part of $1,000 last month, and I bought a Ryobi battery pack powered one. It's 21-inch dual blade, self-propelled, all four wheels. It's actually pretty decent. Then again, I have a small piece of property, so but it works out well. It's nice. No gas, no noise, really. So it's good.
I gotta upgrade. I gotta get electric. After this mower, everything. I'm going electric with everything. Car, I'll probably go hybrid. But, you know, I won't go full electric. I'll go hybrid.
Well, it's supposed to continue raining here this evening. Everything squishes right now. Tomorrow is just supposed to be cloudy with a high of 55, but a high of 55 out on the bridge is going to be colder than a well digger's ass.
Oh, yeah. 55, that's no fun.
But I am stoked. I'm making my Bridge Day weekend pot of chili.
Nice.
And it will be very good. I'll do the homemade chili sauce. I rehydrate several different kinds of dried chilies and put them through a Foley food mill so that I got this beautiful brick red chili paste. Mm. And then build the soup or stew base around it. I got some pretty stew meat for it, some nice beans to season it up real good. I've still got some remaining chili pepper, chili powder that our buddy Dr. John out in New Mexico sent me from a little Mexican grocery there. And it's like Hatch chili powder. And oh my Jesus, it is just gloriously hot.
Wow. Little goes a long way.
Yes. And if you build it just right, you'll get like just a little bite on the front end, and the burn happens on the back end, and that's when it's good, because that's when you just reach over and go, hand me the beer.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, you don't want the burn up front. You don't want a big burn up front. Yeah.
That's Pakistani food hot, and that you need a big jug of milk. That's the only thing that could cure that.
Or you can just surf the burn, get the endorphin rush.
Well, right. Just do nothing and take it.
And this evening, and it's just too crappy outside, but every year before Bridge Day, on the Friday before Saturday Bridge Day, a local civic group does something called Taste of Bridge Day. And so it's all the local restaurants that show up on in a single location. And, you know, it's the buy tickets thing. God, there's some good eats there.
Tell us more about the Ohio cart you were talking about. Ohio. You said that there was a sausage.
Oh, yeah, DeRusso's. We talked about this a few weeks ago. I first found them when they came to the Black Walnut Festival. Short form, we just call it the Nut Festival, because there used to be a state mental health facility in Spencer, West Virginia. Sorry. That hospital is no more. But I ran across it there. DeRusso's Italian sausage. When they get going, the whole, you know, the whole festival area or carnival area, the town and Spencer's, it just smells like simmering Italian sausage. And you know how most Italian sausages are curved?
Uh-huh.
They get a little, you know, these are straight. Uh-huh. And it makes it ever so much better to, and they make their own homemade sauce with the peppers and the onions and mozzarella.
Sounds heavenly.
Oh, it is. It is. The minute they got set up and got everything cooking, I would go down to their trailer and get two and have two for lunch for 3 days running, because then I wouldn't get them for another year. But sometimes they show up at Bridge Day. And it's really yummy when they do.
I hope for you that they do.
Oh, I do too. And I feel bad for the people who are going to be vending like crafts and stuff.
Who are the Mountaineers playing tomorrow?
Oklahoma State.
Ooh, good game.
At home. And if I had to, I told Annette earlier, if we weren't waiting on the balloon to go up and waiting on baby, that I would be inclined to just forego Bridge Day and just get on the road and go 2.5 hours up the road to Morgantown and see the game. I've got some friends from across the pond I know who are going to be. We went to college together, but he lives in England, and I'd love to meet up. Mountaineer games are so much fun.
I can imagine. There's a lot of good games on tomorrow.
But I'm still not.
Ohio State.
Oh, that'll be a dandy. I'm still not okay after what happened last Thursday. Not last night, but a week ago Thursday, to my beloved Mountaineers. It's horrible.
I missed it.
Oh.
Yeah.
With 12 seconds remaining, we scored and went ahead. We were playing Houston. Our old coach, Dana Holgerson. And then we lost.
How'd you lose in 12 seconds?
I'm not going to try to. You got to go find the video.
Ah, Jesus.
It was just, I was having Don Nealon flashbacks.
Remember the Nashville Miracle or whatever that was?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that crazy play? Yeah. Was it something like that?
I was listening on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I blanked, because it's just like, No. And
God, that hurts like a bitch.
Yeah, because there was an old joke about Don Nealon always having the ability to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory.
Oh, yeah.
And
the worst one. But I cut you guys off.
No, you go ahead, Kevin.
The worst one, remember, was the Joe Pisarcik fumble. He was a quarterback for the Giants before Phil Sims. And right at the tail end, when the Giants, you know, remember, they used to suck every year growing up. And you're my age, Robin. Remember, the Giants were terrible.
Oh, yeah.
In the 70s, you know. And I think it was in 78. And Herman Edwards recovered the fumble. So all the Giants had to do was sit on the ball.
Yeah.
And back then, they didn't do all the, you know, the
victory formation
stuff.
And.
Right. That wasn't.
Kneel down and stuff.
Yeah, that wasn't a thing back then. They'd actually literally hike the ball and, you know, and, but still, all he had to do was take a knee. Well, he fumbled, and Herman Edwards picked it up and ran it in for a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
And Dick Vermeil, I think it was like his first or second year in the Eagles head coach. It's famous. I know you guys are probably,
Oh, yeah.
Robin's.
You remember now, Robin, what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, I do. I do.
Chris probably, too. Chris, you're not. You probably remember that. You've probably seen that play.
Maybe I've seen it.
Tony Romo maybe. Bobbling the snap from the snap on the.
Oh, the butt fumble. The butt fumble.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh,
yeah.
That's a good one. Yep.
That was the worst. I mean, as far as, like, you know. Didn't have playoff. The Giants weren't going to make the playoffs or anything like that, but it just epitomized how bad they were before, you know, Phil Simms and Parcells and everybody came in.
Good game for the Ducks, too. I think they're playing the Cougars.
Oh, nice.
And so that's a top. Is it? When did that? Maybe that was last week. Maybe no. Cougars, Washington State.
Won that game? Yeah. Who won that game? I was watching that.
Oh, the week there was a all time instant classic last week. It was the Huskies.
It was a shootout, wasn't it? Wasn't a shootout?
It was a shootout, and the Ducks lost. And
yeah, both defenses stayed on the bus.
Oh man! Every time,
pretty
every,
much.
Every, yeah.
You're talking
but
Ducks
there were
the
some
Beavers.
Real skeptical. There were some really skeptical going for it on fourth down by the Oregon coach, and he said after at the press conference, he was like, "You know what? If I had to do it again, I'd do it again, because the sabermetrics tell me I should have gone for it." Well, sometimes the computer might be wrong. I remember there was a computer named Hal that wasn't right all the time.
Well played. I'm sorry, Ducks. Well, hey, not to be pushy or anything, but we're an hour and 45 minutes into the program. We're a big old goose egg, and we are at I miscalculated, but that's okay. Basically, we are at 1695, and it would be great if we could reduce that number some, get more bills paid, because we've moved into exorbitant bill season as if they weren't already. Steve in New York has a $13 Schadenfreude matching challenge. The 13, because Schadenfreude has 13 letters in it, and so Steve will match $13 if it comes in celebration of the Schadenfreude. We're all feeling for NAMBLA adjacent former speaker candidate Jim Jacket Off Jordan. I was wondering if anybody would bring this up, because I know this is going to hurt. Randy Radar says Bill Buckner for the Red Sox in the World Series. Uh-huh.
Yeah, killing me. Oh boy.
Go back. Going back in a few emails here. Steve in New York pointed out Iron Dome. I heard an expert in ballistic missile defense say systems like that have like a 5% kill rate. You wouldn't know it to hear it coming out of the. Oh, got them all. The Congress shit, Steve says, it's the January 6th denouement. Not wrong. And John in Central PA said, it's like you said, the House of Representatives, it's like you said, Robin, the government is effectively shut down, and that's the way they want it. And it's chilling when you think about what we could not do if there was an emergency right here, right now.
This is a coup. This is a coup. That you said they're going to do it again. They're doing it again right now.
Right. Yeah. Steve said this is the denouement to January 6th.
Hey, Robin, Steve owes you money.
Yeah, thank you. I've got several things. Thank you to Christopher. Christopher jumping in via Venmo says simply, Schadenfreude. Thank you, Christopher. And Jeremy, thank you. And Ralphs, thank you. So, we're actually down to 1635, which is actually the year that my One of my forebears, at the tender age of 16, got off the boat and began exploring Roxbury, Massachusetts. Yeah, no kidding, Kevin. I've got Massachusetts roots.
That's Robin, right. How does that story end in ancient Greece or Rome?
Shut up, Jeremy. He was probably so... I don't know. He might have been literate. But, yeah, two generations in Massachusetts and then began moving southward, stopped in Essex County, Virginia. And then my great-grandfather was born in Carroll County, Virginia.
I haven't traced mine back this far. I should...
And they were English.
And little known addendum, there was a song written about that that voyage called Rock the Boat.
Yeah, yes, yes. Well, and how about that? I never even thought about that. He landed in Roxbury, and here I am, Roxanne, so.
Goes around full circle.
Indeed. Roxanne. There, got it out of the way. Nobody else has to say it now.
I was singing.
Jeez. So we're going to wind up down, with everybody responding, we're going to wind up down down to... what, 1314? Yeah. Thank you to a kind internet friend who wishes to remain anonymous. 1614, not 13. I can't cipher for beans this evening.
So, Roger, are you teaching a class this weekend?
No, not this weekend. I worked on a jam and jelly project yesterday where we brewed up 120 jars, half-pint jars of jams and jellies for our annual jam and jelly sale.
Holy cow.
But we've got three or four more sessions to go because we usually end up with like 400 jars to be sold with a variety of flavors. Anyhow, I'm going to have to run off here for a bit because the yard guy's here and I got to go get him lined out and all the rest of that. But I'll be bouncing in and out, but enjoy.
And you as well, Roger. Give our best to Patricia. All right, anything else on anybody got anything that's burning them up?
Emilio, what's going on, man?
Not much. Just got here. I haven't listened to the last 15 minutes or so, but I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Italian sausage.
Oh, okay.
How about the Biden reelection committee having more followers on True Social than Trump has now?
Oh, I thought that was hilarious.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah,
that's
Ralph
great.
Ralph sent that along yesterday. There are more Biden followers on Tripe Social than there are.
Atroce. Oh, that's great. Oh, man, that'll send the ketchup flying.
Ketchup is the default for Nitwit Nero's anger these days, you know?
And poor little Boron riding around on the big wheel.
I also read a headline that said the company that's trying to take Truth Social public, and I didn't read the article because I was working, but I imagine it's someone trying to make money for the right wing.
Very likely, but the thing is the funding is all screwed up. And he literally may not—he may lose it even before it gets taken away from him.
What's even funnier about this is people were kind of worried when people started breaking up from the RICO case in Georgia. This is how it's designed to work. People split off and start flipping on the big guy. He's going down. Lots more are going to flip. These are only the first two.
Yeah, he may, like I said in the first hour, he may wind up by himself at the defense table. And every single person testifying against him will be a Republican. You can't overemphasize that.
Just like the January 6th committee, all the witnesses
were Republicans. Yeah. Hey, Kevin, thank you so much. You just took us down to 1564, so thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Be welcome. I'm surprised none of these senators have stepped up. And remember, I was talking about Tuberville last Friday. And here we are still.
Unbelievable. I mean,
do they want us to fail? They must want us to fail, I guess, huh? The military.
I think that they really think they could keep everything in suspended animation until Trump wins again. And then they could, you know, get things roaring back to how it used to be under his sorry ass, right? And they could plug in all their sycophants into these empty slots. But that's not how this is going to work out.
Well, the problem is if they drag
the election, no one will vote for Republican, because by that time, think about it. If they really shut the government down all until what? Next election?
A year. Yeah, freaking year.
I mean, this country will explode. It won't take long. You take those Social Security checks and stop, you know, you watch, you know, they'll probably pass some stopgap where, you know, they'll get the Social Security. They'll say, okay, we won't touch Social Security and Medicare, but we'll fuck with everything else, you know, air traffic control. I don't know, whatever. It's just
the Social Security is not affected by this
shutdown.
Social Security, Medicare, and some Medicaid to states won't be affected.
Right.
Well, it's the administration of it, though. And like, I think it was it you, Kevin, or Steve, that, or maybe Jeremy, that kept saying there's 10, maybe Steve from Georgistan, 10,000 new people come on per month online. So facilitating and the bureaucracy of that is effective.
Yeah.
Actual hard dollars, but the soft indirect costs are definitely affected.
Well, the people who get payments now, like the old folks like me, will not be affected.
Right. You'll still get your check if there's somebody there to fucking sign their name to it.
It's semi-automated.
Yeah, with things like direct deposit.
But if the computer goes down? The guy that brings the, like me, the little guy that presses the button to make the computer come back, if he ain't getting a paycheck, you think he's going to log on and for work? Guarantee you, no.
Well, what boggles my mind is they're willing to have the United States military hang fire and all the military contractors.
Support the troops, y'all.
Don't step on SNCC. God, that mental image.
They don't give a fuck.
That mental image I created last night of Mr. and Mrs. Jordan's urine-colored snake flag duvet. I think I had a nightmare about it last night.
Oh, I don't like that. And he climbs into bed in his leotard.
Yeah, and his old The Ohio State University wrestling leotard, you know, framed on the wall like a football jersey.
Oh, that's really gets Mrs. Jordan all hot.
Shut up. Stop it. No sense for being... There's no cause for overt vulgarity.
He has to wear his mouth guard and headgear when she gets really worked up.
And he has to look the other way, for sure. He can't look at her eyes. He has to look the other way.
He's horrible, isn't he?
Cowbell for that?
Yes, cowbell for that. Give a girl a chance to reach for the damn thing. Bunch of cowbell starved. Okay, so what do you think? So what about what I was saying earlier? You think they might run a woman's name up the flagpole?
I was thinking about that driving home.
God.
And she's if anything, you know, you brought up money, that the guy was pissed off about the money. The GOP, you know, and she's a good fundraiser. She's a lightning rod. And if they prop her up and they probably say, hey, look, we'll make tons of money by making her speaker. Not like they want to make her speaker. They want to make money. Think about it.
Bingo.
Right.
And they'll make a boatload of fucking cash if they put her up there. They probably say, hey, we'll make tons of money. Because she'll be like, she'll have the speaker they want to make. She'll say the craziest, you know how it's going to run, roll. She's going to say the craziest shit day in and day out. And just rake in the fucking money. Go ahead. I'm going
to. Yeah, because all of the Loises in Staten Island will send them to stop the communist, Hakeem Jeffries.
That's who we need. Someone like her. Someone stand up to tell them how it is. Yeah.
He's sort of a centrist. Yeah. He's actually a centrist.
Can you believe it? Can you fucking believe them? I wouldn't put it past him. I wouldn't put it past him.
Elise Stupidnik has ambition. She's like the number two or number three in the, or was under Kevers.
Yeah.
Maybe. Hey, you know that we can't. We don't have. They don't have to be a member of Congress, correct?
Yeah, true.
What about Michelle Bachmann? What she's doing?
Oh no, she's got too nice a gig. She's running. She's running the Department of Government Pat Robertson Crayola University.
She's trying to keep Marcus away from the pool boy.
Now I was going
to
say, and Marcus gets all the corn dogs he wants. I'm horrible. I know it. But hey, you know what? Maybe they could bring back Louis Asparagus Gohmert.
Yeah.
Or Steve Cantaloupe's King.
Or Boehner.
No, they hate Boehner.
No.
Yeah, Eddie Munster either, because both of them got run.
That is true. Do we have John Boehner's cry bucket in the Smithsonian?
No, but we do have one of his empty wine boxes of Merlot.
Yeah.
Oh, Randy Radar says that Pennsylvania Congressman Dan Muser may seek the speaker's gavel.
You know, I would bring back John Boehner just for his one line in his autobiography of Cracking Balls While Crying. That was, fuck you, Ted Cruz. I bring him back just for that.
Yeah, they could start every session with that. I'd vote for him, just to say that. Nothing else. And cry.
And he said Jim Jordan was a legislative terrorist. So.
Well, he's right about that, too. I didn't catch that. What was that?
That broke up.
Tracy joined.
Oh, is Tracy in the room?
Who? What? What? Who?
Where have you been, Tracy?
Ooh, working my ass off. Oh, excuse me. Oh, my God. No, I was just... I've been working for so much, I kind of had to go take a nap, but I'm like, okay, I'm awake now. I can function. But I'm just
good to hear your voice, Tracy.
Thank you, Chris. How are you, baby?
I'm doing good, hanging in there.
That's all we can do, especially in times like we in the. You know what? I know a lot of y'all. I don't know any of you guys who are Christians or whatever, but this is the fucking in the days. I'm just really wait. But the problem is, if Jesus comes back, they're gonna throw him in a detention center because he's a brown person.
Sure.
Because mm-hmm. He is not a Norse fucking god.
Nope. I don't know. Maybe he'll get some blue-eyed contacts.
Yeah, you know, and get some bleaching cream, and get a blonde wig or weed.
Because well, Tracy, if he shows wait, up Jesus in Florida,
with,
he's going to
wait.
Be
Jesus with a weave.
or give her a cowbell. Give her a cowbell.
Give him a conch. And dye it blonde.
Well, Tracy will be thrown in prison for wearing a dress in Florida if he shows up in Florida.
In Florida, Tallahassee. In Texas, in Alabama, in Mississippi. Come on. I just can't. I just listen to this shit. And, hey, baby, Robin, who was the brother, the representative that basically said, called the Republicans out for as much as they love Israel, but they can't get their shit together so we can send money to Israel.
Oh, I mean, wasn't that Hakeem Jeffries?
Well, I don't remember. I just heard you talking about what he said. I didn't hear who said it. It was like he sent a letter or something, and he really just clowned the motherfuckers.
Oh, who was that? Yeah, he did clown. They were beclowned.
Oh, they were clowned.
Yeah, Tracy, wasn't it? I forgot who it was, but he was saying something like, you know, they need strong leadership. And he said, I agree with Jim Jordan that strong leadership is needed with the speaker. That's why they should join with us and vote for Hakeem Jeffries. Right?
But I don't, like I said, I don't remember everything that he said, but I just remember you pointing out how he fucking clowned those, but they're so fucking obtuse. But they don't even realize that they're being clowns, stupid motherfuckers.
They are clueless. Absolutely clueless. They really think they can blame the Democrats for this, and right? the Miracle people will believe.
Right. And so, like, you know, because I listen to KNX 1070 out here because it's, you know, traffic on the fives. And so they, of course... they've been going back. Actually, there's a couple of journalists on the and so whenever they have people on, they kind of get ugly with people because they had a Republican strategist on the other day, and they kept. He's like, but wait a minute, what about this and what about that? Like today, they had somebody on, a state senator. He's a Democrat though. It was saying how, because there was a horrific death accident on PCH on Tuesday night.
Pacific Coast Highway, for those of you who don't speak Southern California.
Oh, shut up, everybody know what PCH is. Don't give me that shit. So there were these four girls. Well, okay, first of all, anybody that's walked in the most deadly part of of PCH is being Santa Monica at Malibu. I don't fuck with with PCH until I'm north of Malibu. We're talking about literally until I'm in Ventura County, because it's ridiculously dangerous, and people fly down that street, that expansive highway, at breakneck speeds. Well, on Tuesday night, these four girls, Pepperdine University students, were walking down PCH. First of all, I don't know where they were. But this asshole was driving so at such a rate of speed that when he hit and killed them, he destroyed all these other cars. One car was hit. The impact was so great that it split the car in half. And he was just driving a BMW. So you got to wonder how fast.
Are you picking on me? Are you picking on me?
Oh, baby, I am not.
Oh.
And so it's like. Some kid, now, of course, he survived, 21 years old, but the girls didn't. And so they had a state senator that represents Malibu. And, you know, they were back and forth about, you know, what about, why is this, and, you know, of course, to do the political speak. And they're like, no, no, no. Because they had a father on there like the day before. whose daughter was also killed on PCH like 10 years ago, almost like 10 years to the day. And he's actually done a documentary. I think it's called 21 Miles. But he's like, he has written, he has called, and you know, Caltrans is who's in charge of, you know, state highways and stuff, and no avail. Oh, we got to study this, we got to do this. And so the one reporter said, how many more people got to die? Seriously, how many more people have to die? Because at this point,
what is it that makes it, what is it, I mean, I'm ignorant, what is it that makes it so dangerous?
Because it's people's drive. Well, of course, this PCH has been around for 50 years. So, of course, it's like Mulholland Highway. Not designed for cars that go as you know, back when they were designed as cars that go fast, but not as fast as they go now. And people didn't drive the way they do now. So,
yeah.
People, I mean, there are people, especially at certain times of the day, when people are like, oh, there's nobody on the highway, so I could drive really fast. But the problem is, there's always somebody on the highway. Or the problem is, somebody's going so fast they lose control. And that's what happened to that young boy who lost control of his car. Now, he's been charged with vehicular manslaughter, negligence, and gross negligence and all this. But, of course, he must have money because guess what? They charged him and they let him go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are so what I want to know, because... And I just thought about this when I said it, because our DA, George Gascon, is up for re-election in 2024. And the conservatives, he ain't tough enough on crime. This zero bail and blah, blah, blah. And so now we just have somebody that killed four people. And he's out on, I guess he better be out on bail, because if he is not getting cash bail, I don't hear nobody screaming, well, what about the other victims? Why could we got to keep him in jail so he don't hurt nobody else? I ain't hear nah, motherfucker. Ain't heard no one screaming about the justice for the families and the justice for those girls why that boy was let out of jail. But yet, when Pookie and them still a six-pack.
Wait, Pookie?
Yeah.
Pookie.
Pookie and Ray Ray and them?
And Ray Ray and Little Dre. And T-Bone.
Of course, Little Dre.
When they steal a six pack, they're ready for the Spanish, they're ready to just put them in front of a Spanish Inquisition. But the kid that killed four people and caused countless damage to cars and more than likely to guardrails. And all this, I ain't heard a motherfucking word about why isn't he still in jail.
No.
You know, like this whole thing about Trump, this motherfucker, who was in
control. Yeah, he can't keep his mouth shut in fucking court. And, really?
And then, again, if it had been Pookie and him.
Or Rerun.
Or Ray Ray, or T-Bone. Or Lil Kale, or any of them, Lil Dre, and they were talking shit about Clark and all this.
No, no. And when he said, they would be so long gone.
And they
Tracy, I got to tell you that I love the fact that you got people living in your head like I got Emery and Marvelline.
Yes.
You bring that story up. Here's an interesting one.
If Rerun tried to pull that bullshit in court.
First of all, Rerun wouldn't have done that bullshit. Because Rerun, no, he a Negro. Okay?
He know
Rerun,
better.
Rerun, Ray Ray, I love it. Cause, you know, I don't care about white people tears and I have no filter when white people say stupid shit in my car. And we were talking, somebody said in the many people that I've driven over the past 16 years, so many stupid things that white people have said to me, and I let them, and I lowered the fucking boom on them. And they were talking about illegals and such about driving and how they drive reckless. And so, yes, they do, but so do other fucking people, right? And I said, people who are here undocumented, they follow the law to a point because they don't want to get in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Well, that and you know, they don't think shit through, Tracy. The people who say, we can't be letting the illegals get no driver's license, well, then they can't get insurance either, dipshit.
Dipshit?
Which means when they hit you, you're fucked.
That's
what happened to me with my car in 2003. I had a brand new Vibe, 5 months old, bam. And the kid couldn't have been older than 16 years old. And he made sure that I was okay. I came up to him to swap insurance. He said, are you okay? Are you okay? And I said, yeah, yeah. And I held out my insurance card and he drove off.
Because?
Exactly.
Dun, dun, dun. You know, so when it's like the guy who hit my brother and totaled my car. Same thing. And when I got years before I became, you know, y'all's, you know, the person, the voice of all black people in the United States,
yeah,
on the horn.
The spokesperson. You're right.
The spokesperson for black folk. I was in a really bad
and,
accident.
And black lesbians. Black lesbians.
Well, remember, you know, and lesbians. Well, not, we're not lesbians because I'm not a lesbian, but I'm queer. So, yeah,
oh, queer.
So,
sorry. Queer. Queer.
You know,
yes.
So, you know, I'm the spokesperson for black queer people. Speaking of which, I know everybody's going to see the Bayard, going to watch the Bayard Rustic movie when that shit comes on television.
Yes.
Yeah, I digress.
The other one I want to see is Killers of the Flower Moon.
Dude.
Yes. Yes.
Dude, I was going to go see that today at the movies because, I mean, I know I could just wait until it comes on Apple TV, but I want to see that shit on the big screen.
Yeah, I'm going to go tomorrow. My nephew's got two back-to-back soccer games, but I'm going to go after that. I definitely need to see that.
I need, because you know how I feel about history and indigenous people. I love when they show how I had white people dying because I could read my audience. I could tell when I could talk shit about white people in front of white people. And nothing gives me more joy. But, and so I was talking about something and I said, well, you know, white people, they said, this one of my customers said, I said, well, you know, white people are just awful. They're like, it catches them off guard when I say shit
right.
like that. But they're like, yeah.
We do be like that.
And it's like, and so, look, some of my best friends are white.
Right.
You have a white friend.
I'm married to a white woman.
You got a white friend, do you, Tracy?
Two. Well, I got you and I got
and a white
two,
wife.
Two, right? And a white wife. So that's three. You know, I'm white by adjacent. You know, I'm white adjacent. That's it. Yeah.
Oh, there you
adjacent.
Go.
And so, when I see shit like, you know, oh, you know what? I read an article. And Robin, because you're the queen of words and all this shit, I need you. Okay, why they fucking with me? Okay, so speaking of that movie, I read an article about the movie, you know, Killers of the what is it? Killers of the what moon?
Flower Moon.
Flower Moon, okay. And so they said something about it being a August Osage or something, and I'm like, I know that has to do with what the fuck does that mean? I hate it when they use references, and I know it's not obscure, but it's just, I hate it when people are so smart that they're too smart for what they're reading.
And you know what? There's another case of that. By the way, I got a note for you from Tom and Sunny San Rafael, PCH for Tracy. Corner of PCH and Chautauqua and West Channel. Only place I crashed my motorcycle. Probably 79 or 80. Horrible road then and surely worse now. My old stomping grounds.
Yep. Like I said, the other day, as a matter of fact, I got a call when I was driving Lyft. And so it was Palisades Beach. And it's been so long since I've driven over there because I usually avoid anything Pacific Palisades, Malibu, Santa Monica. I'm on PCH because it's such a scary trying to get to where people are, right? And so it was Palisades Beach, and I forgot that Palisades Beach basically is the Santa Monica portion of PCH. But it's still on PCH, but they call it Palisades Beach, right? And so I was like, fortunately, it was that part of the day, and it was a Sunday, so it wasn't that busy, and it was October, you know, because actually it was this last Saturday. So there was not a lot of traffic. But PCH, okay, y'all, I don't know if you know, but you know what I don't know. Do you guys know I drive a cab?
Yes.
I don't know if you knew this. Really? For real? Okay, so you know that. And you know how I can. And I literally have been driving in LA since I was 13 years old. So we're talking over four decades of driving. There's only a couple of places that scare me, PCH being one of them. Because there's such a PCH and, I mean, like, scared me to, not like water bowel scared or anything like that, but it's, I'm apprehensive because.
Whiter, let's just say whiter knuckled.
Yes. And it wasn't because now, like, you know, people are just driving way too fast, y'all.
See,
if you get a call to a neighborhood over there, I mean, do you just find an alternate route?
Well, there's some places that you have to go up PCH. That's why I don't fuck with it.
Oh, so if you get that call, you're like, no,
It's interesting what you say there, Tracy, because one of the things Annette points out, she said, I think something happened during the pandemic and people lost the ability to operate motor vehicles.
Girl, let me tell you something. I think I've said this on the show. I said before COVID, the social contract was already on life support. Now, after COVID, the motherfucker's DOA. Okay? People have stopped caring about other people. People have become so narcissistic and fucking self-centered. And you could tell by the... It's like the way people. So the latest thing. This is what people are doing now. So you got. I don't know. In everybody else's neck of the woods. So in LA, and I'm pretty sure it's in other parts of the country as well. We have the middle lane that's like, and it has broken lines. You know, broken dotted lines on the inside, which means you can start and you can either start and end a U-turn or a left turn, right? And a lot of times those middle lanes. Wind up in a left turn lane, right?
Right.
Y'all, we got motherfuckers that are using that as a lane. So what they do, they go flying down that lane, they cut into the left lane, while people who are driving, you know, north, south, or what have you, on opposite sides of the freeway, not the freeway, but the street, so when they go into the middle lane, y'all, and then cut into the intersection and keep going in the direction of traffic that they were in. So you're minding your business. I don't know. You're heading west on Venice Boulevard, right? And so you're in the intersection, and the next thing you know, some fool is flying down the middle and cutting into the left turn lane, and then cutting in front of you to the heading, and then going west, and it's like. To watch it, it is frightening. It is so terrifying. And these people who, you know, are literally running, weaving in and out of traffic. That is why we have had so many accidents. And what's happening now, and I feel a lot about people, you know, red light cameras and all that, but there's been so many deaths, y'all. They're actually considering this. I think it became a law that they're going to start putting not red lights cameras, but speeding cameras along these roads where people are dying. And I don't like Uncle Sam. I mean, I don't like Big Brother watching me, right?
No, but.
But right now, with people dying and for considering what the fuck I do for a living, and every time I drive, take back my black ass out my driveway, I am literally taking not only my life into my own hands, well, it's not even my own hands. That's the problem. Because Jan is first to say, I'm not worried about you driving. You are an excellent, amazing driver.
And that says the same thing to me.
Right. I am not worried about you, boo-boo. I am worried about the motherfucker that thinks that they are Mario Andretti, and they think that the 405 or the...
Oh, no, no. See, that's just the same thing. I mean, I get panic attacks going through Nashville, particularly on the north side of, like, I-65 South, because there's, like, six lanes on either side.
Oh, Jesus.
And... invariably, I'm playing. I'm in the game, okay? So I'm keeping a steady 80, okay?
Yes!
And invariably, some asshole in a 78 Caprice with a Bush Palin 2008 sticker on his car will roar right up on my ass, pop over in the right lane, and pass me at 110. It was bad enough. I've had a couple of kind of just uncomfortable incidents. When you're coming into Chattanooga, south of Knoxville, same way. And there's just all this glittering concrete, and it's like, fuck, because you're coming off a plateau. And it got to the point where I talked to my therapist about it, and I said, am I okay? Am I having... And she said, Robin, you just described someone passing you on the right on a freeway at 110 miles an hour. I'd be worried if that didn't freak you out.
Well, for me, it's like you said, I have a new personal that I picked up, that I took to the airport to pick them up today. And so we were, I call him a new phrase, cute Jewish guy, right? And I said something that I hadn't even heard until the other day. I was watching this thing about people who are awful and they steal and stuff like that. This brother said it went from sugar to shit in less than 60 seconds.
Oh, and that's good.
Something about, right, from sugar to shit. And he's like, oh my God, that's my life. From sugar to shit. But we were just talking about how things are going.
That's like Malloy saying, if it ain't lice, it's bed bugs.
That's just bed bugs. And so it's like I'm driving along minding my own business. And like, and we were both saying, because of course everybody speeds. I speed, but I am I am hyper aware of my surroundings. I have spatial awareness. I'm constantly checking my, you know, remember we were taught how to drive in high school.
Yes.
And driver's ed and driver's training. It was 5 weeks of driver's ed and 5 weeks of driver's training. And on top of that, they would not let your ass in that vehicle until you had to be in that simulator a few times before you even got behind the fucking
wheel. And the simulator, you had to learn to drive standard and automatic.
Automatic!
And the standard simulator was a column shifter.
Oh, shit. Wow.
You know, so in the classic H pattern, 1, 2, 3, no, reverse.
Okay. See, yeah, no. And so we were taught how to drive. We're not a dying generation. Well, fuck shit, I'll be 60 in a couple of minutes. But
shut up.
It's like, but the thing is, we are getting older and there won't be many of us driving for too much longer. So we got all these entitled little Zoomers and millennials who everybody were
careful. You're gonna get accused of being a boomer if you're gonna bitch about the Zoomers and the millennials.
Okay, call me a fucking boomer. I don't give a god.
I mean, you're not. You're an X. But the funny thing is, I do notice in you know popular culture, X people are getting gooned on for their age now.
Yes, we are.
And
yes, we are.
And I love the response posts where somebody from Gen X will say, "Do not fuck with me."
Do not fuck with me.
We are Gen X. We were thrown out of our homes at 7 o'clock in the morning in the summer and told not to come back till it was dark.
Right.
We learned to cook at 8 years old because there were no adults in the house.
We were the fucking OG latchkey kids. Fuck y'all.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. But I was gonna point something out. Where was I? You were talking about. First of all, thank you to Frank. Frank just got us down to 1539. Thank you, Frank. And if we do 39 more bucks, that means we're fully funded for all of last week.
Look, Frank, my lips are hot.
No, I was thinking about the woman in the shingles commercial. Frank. Oh. I still haven't forgotten.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Frank and hot lips. That's what I thought.
What? Right. And that's what I did too, and that's why I said Frank.
Well, I actually, back when Twitter wasn't so toxic, I actually found the actress's name, and I tweeted to her and said, I love that commercial, and you're so channeling, you're so channeling Loretta Swit, and she's like, that is such a high compliment, thank you. She said that's actually what I was trying to do, so yay. But yay. No, let's see, 39 more bucks, and we are fully funded for last Friday. So that's amazing. We've done a lot of catching up.
When I opened up the page to see, I'm driving on a really awful road because, you know, instead of spending money on, well, they started to repave the road, and now it's that gravelly shit that until they put the tar or whatever,
yeah,
it's just gravel.
Fun.
So they had enough money to tear up the road, but not
right.
Okay. I wanted you were talking earlier about white people behaving badly, and yes. Christopher, you'll love this.
It's
one
called Congress.
Christopher, this is out of the greater Chicagoland area. I love saying greater Chicagoland area. I feel so authentic. Makes me want a hot dog. Suburban Chicago, 69-year-old white woman, sashays into Walgreens. This was LaGrange, Illinois. She sashays into Walgreens, grabs a case of beer, and just sashays right back out.
Oh, okay.
And they're like, hey, you going to
pay for... Does she have an RFID chip in her head or something?
liquid barcodes, maybe. I don't know. But so
I took the vaccine.
So they called the cops, and the woman finally bought the beer. The store employees were decent enough that they didn't press charges, but they did ask the cops so they wouldn't have to deal with it again. They asked the cops to give her a no trespass order. Well, this 69-year-old cranky entitled old white woman was handed the ticket by the cop, which she then tore into tiny pieces in front of him and dropped on the floor at his feet.
Ooh. But she ain't in jail, is she?
And then she left the store with the beer she'd bought and headed to a bus stop. But then she turned around 10 minutes later, walked back into the store, and screamed that word that has all the same letters as ginger.
As ginger.
And then turned around, stormed back out, and got on a bus.
Ginger, please. Wow. Speaking of ginger, please.
Honestly.
This is why... When people, this is what I try to impart on my white folks that are in my cab about white privilege. I tell them all, and when they try to say blah, I'm like, no. And when I give them examples of shit like that, because my whole existence is when I watch shit, I watch it through that lens of a former felon. Because let's face it, I was accused of a white collar crime. I'm convicted of a white collar crime, rather. But I'm black. So I get 10 years probation when motherfuckers like Elizabeth Holmes and all these other people who was intentional in their crimes, she's actually in jail, but now she's not going to serve the whole time because she could afford the best attorneys in the country. Whereas, you know, Pookie and them, and now and me, we Pookie. Can't do shit. Pookie.
Pookie and Ray
Ray.
And Ray Ray. A little dry.
A little dry. Because that. So, I would have, I mean, trust and believe, I know there's black people that do stupid shit with cops and stuff like that. How for never? If there was a black person, look at Sandra Bland. What was her crime? She upset the white cop because she had the audacity to ask him why, and then she winds up dying in jail.
Oh, there! I saw another one the other day that was just horrifying, and the cop will get away with it. It happened in Georgia. A man, a black man, who had been wrongfully incarcerated for something like 26 years. Crazy time, a crazy amount of time. Well, he was released because he was wrongfully convicted. And so he was driving from Georgia down to Florida. He got pulled over for driving crazy fast, you know, like 90 plus. And the cop shows up and tells him to get out of the car, you know, the license registration, you know, get out of the car. And you can almost imagine dude being triggered.
Right.
And so he gets out of the car. And then he decides to, and the body cam footage is out there apparently. And so he goes after the cop. The cop tases him. Doesn't slow him down. Doesn't slow him down. And I think he took a swing at him, and then the cop wasted him.
I don't understand why deadly force is always the option, is the go-to option.
Nor do I. That's the thing. I don't think even reckless driving has a summary execution component.
Well, there's a case about to go to trial out here. So this Latinx sister had rented a U-Haul van to take supplies to a woman's shelter out here in LA. I think it was in East LA, whatever. And so the cop pulls her over because they run the plates. There's a rental. And so it's coming back as stolen now. Instead of just, you know, because I don't know, there's these things called computers and human error, and people make mistakes, right? So instead of pulling her over and asking for a registration and maybe seeing the rental agreement, which would have, you know, he snatches her out the car and wrestles her down to the ground, handcuffs her, guns bared, throws her in the back of the police car for an hour. And, of course, it comes back that it was a mistake, that she had not stolen the vehicle.
Oopsie.
But why is that the first thing you do? Because, like you just talked about that white woman who tore up the ticket. Do you think he would have done something like that to a white woman? Fuck no. He would have asked her for her ID and, you know.
Yes, ma'am. May I see your ID, ma'am? Thank you, ma'am.
May I see the registration or rental agreement? Thank you, ma'am.
Have a nice day, ma'am.
No, yeah, have a nice. Oh, okay. Well, it's showing that this is stolen, but I showed, you know, I ran the place. It's showing that it's stolen, but obviously it's not. You need to call the rental car place to clear this shit. The whole scenario would have been so different.
Oh, yeah, and by the way, you got kind of a long distance cowbell from our pal Texas T. He just posted over on my Facebook page, and he just said, quote, Robin, the queen of words and all that shit, unquote. Texas T said, I love Tracy.
Thank
Thank you. Robin, you need business cards made up with that.
Yeah, Robin Kincaid, the queen of words and all that shit. It's a beautiful thing.
Well, I mean,
because,
again...
Oh, but just another one, because you'll get a kick out of this, from the Department of Dumbass. there's a dude named Stephen Boykin.
This is the name right there, Boykin.
Yeah.
I've heard this name. Go ahead.
Oh, no, there's another Boykin, General Boykin, and he's the one who said, our God is better than their God, and that's why we'll win, you know. One of those,
oh, Jesus.
He was Michael Flynn before Michael Flynn was Michael Flynn.
Oh.
Christ on a cracker.
So he was about to get out of prison, Stephen Boykin was.
About to.
Yeah, about to. He was doing uh-oh, federal time, because back in the day he took to mailing letters to Barack Obama and Oprah Winfrey and George W. Bush, even.
Oh, shit.
Telling him that he was going to kill their ass.
Oh.
So he was scheduled to be released this month.
Uh-oh. But.
Notice the verb tense.
Mm-hmm. But. Well, how's it, Robert?
Well, he decided to correspond a little bit with President Biden.
Oh.
Oh.
And sent him sent the president a letter saying that he would kill him too once I get out, and I will take matters in. I will go to Washington D.C. I'll take matters into my own hands and finish what I started. And then he said, the news story says that he then states in a letter addressed to Philip Boykin that he plans to then return to Greenville, South Carolina, and finish what Dr. Death and the others want Stephen to do. And what the other have planned will in fact happen. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about this. It will end the way my father's always wanted it. My father always wanted it to end, destruction. And they were sent to the federal courthouse in Greenville, South Carolina, to President Joe Biden and Philip Boykin. And, in the letter to Philip Boykin, he said, well, I'm sitting here buying my plan, waiting until I get out. I'm going to make sure each one of you suffer. And when I'm done, I'm going to eat your body parts with the following people: Michelle and Barack Obama, Ron DeSantis, Vice President Harris. And nobody knows.
Why is that? That's on that list.
But Ron DeSantis was on the list,
though.
But okay.
Yeah, why?
Pick a side, asshole, you know? Oh, I shouldn't have said that. That was horrible.
Speaking of people eating, so I picked up somebody the other day, and, you know, the whole thing about the Murdoch murders and stuff. Well, now so we're driving down the street, this big-ass billboard with Bill Pullman playing the Murdoch guy, right? And so there was a sister, she's like, why is there not a Lifetime movie? And she told me she couldn't remember the name, so we Googled it. It was a black woman who killed her white husband, cut him up, and cooked him and ate him. Why is there no movie about her? Why is it that only the white people get the crazy white people get fucking movies, man?
Yeah, it's Jeffrey Van Damme, right?
Right. It's like, look. You know,
he was a culinary genius, yeah.
Shut up.
He was a culinary genius, too. You know, and it's like, so, but no, he was, I guess, her sugar daddy. And speaking as a black woman and who is married to a white person, there are times, y'all, there are times that people say things, and I'm like, but the only reason, like I told Jan one time, we had a particularly bad fight. And I said, bitch, the only reason why you're still vertical and not fucking horizontal is because I got going to jail for killing a white woman. Yeah, I said that.
Ooh, that's pretty mean.
And she thought I was playing. I was not. Because it's like, again, I know what I went through for, you know, fraud. what the fuck would I go through for killing a white woman? It's like, I mean, you guys know I would never hurt somebody like that. But right. I shut up. I understand the inclination of wanting to lay and throw elbows and lay hands. Oh, and back to the Ginger Please reference that I made earlier, Robin.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is happening with Cornel West?
I was wondering if you were going to get around to Brother Cornell.
You tell us. You're his spokesperson, at least for this show.
Well, I sent Tracy the story the other day. Remember Har Har Crow?
Oh yeah. How can we forget?
Yeah, Har Har gave. Har Har has given the maximum allowable donation to Cornel West and his independent bid for president, and Cornel took the money.
Oh,
get out of here!
Sorry,
Cornel.
And then have to say this. He nerves to say I'm bought and unbought.
Wait, he said what?
That was one of the big things. I think Shirley Chisholm said it. I'm unbought and unbossed.
Oh, Cornel said that? Whoops.
I'm like, okay, so now I can say it. Ginger, please. But I got to say it right. Ginger, please.
That's so disappointing. Jeez.
It's. I think maybe there's some, not that I would wish dementia on such a brilliant mind. Mm-hmm. But... You gotta go.
But in terms of other independent candidates for president, there is new polling data that shows that now he's running as an independent. Rotted FK is doing more damage to Nitwit Nero than Joe Biden.
I heard that too. That's good.
Who is who?
Rotted FK.
I don't know who that is.
RFK Jr.
Oh him! Oh,
The vaccine will kill you.
Right.
Yeah, don't take the vaccine, black people. It will kill you.
Because it's genocide.
Only if you're Chinese or Ashkenazi Jew, is that right?
And apparently people with high levels of, and even high levels are minuscule levels, but people with high levels of Neanderthal DNA are particularly susceptible to the virus.
So why is the Republican Party alive?
Yeah. Well, your girl here has a higher amount of Neanderthal DNA than 78% of the humans on the planet.
And, but still,
oh, really?
Yes.
The only
person I know with more Neanderthal DNA is Annette. We found each other for a few. It's too much.
I think we had this discussion about you know, DNA testing and stuff. And as a matter of fact, let me pull up my DNA test to show how much white people are in me.
Robin, do you two watch Quest of Fire together?
Oh.
Well, I think there's a particular reason that we laughed extra hard at Encino Man.
Okay.
Ooh.
So I saw some breaking news. I guess Steve Bannon was pushing hard for Jim Jordan. So that makes me smile.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I've got. Oh, by the way, I got a note from Arnold in PA. Robert F. Kennedy blows. Agreed. And Arnold says, "Great show. Hi, everybody. Hey, Arnold.
Hey, Arnold."
And here's a funny one, and I'm trying to sort out the logistics of it, but one of the people who's been voting against Jacket Off Jordan was Vern Buchanan, a Republican from Florida.
Any relation?
To who?
To Buchanan. What's his name? The asshole.
Pat.
Oh, I don't know, but Vern, after yesterday's humiliation of Jim Jordan, decided to have a little fun, Someone who calls himself Turning Point, Rogan O'Handley, said, leaked Florida Representative Vern Buchanan, who now refuses to vote for Jim Jordan for Speaker, was partying last night at the White House bowling alley. Now, I don't know if this is the White House bowling alley, but it was accompanied with video and, you know, audio, I suppose. We'll find out. White House bowling alley. 1650 Pennsylvania Avenue. Yeah, dude just rolled a strike. And now he's white guy dancing on the... No, not
white guy dancing.
Yes, it was terrible.
Did you do the overbite too?
Yes.
And he did the gritty.
The only thing he didn't do was the running man.
Oh!
Now renamed the Ted Lasso.
The Ted Lasso. That's so unfortunate. Oh, that's another thing I told, said something to somebody, because they were doing, I was driving somewhere and I avoided all this traffic, right? And my passengers were just, they're like, oh my God, blah, blah, blah. And I said, yeah, those poor unfortunate souls that are sitting in traffic, because I had just watched the live version of The Little Mermaid. I thought, they're like, the stuff that I say, I really need to start recording. Because this shit is hilarious.
Christopher, you have received a cowbell from Sumon out in Arizona.
Really?
Yeah, cowbell for Christopher for, what's his name? That asshole Buchanan.
You know, the asshole.
You know, the asshole.
Buchanan, with the Oxfords. Oh, and gee, I hope it doesn't hurt too little. Apparently, Precious Princess, I wank on my daddy Trump Kushner. Her pettifoggers are furiously filing papers to try to keep Iwanka from having to testify at the fraud trial in Manhattan.
Aww.
She started out as a party defendant, but there was a ruling that the statute of limitations had lapsed. And so she was removed as a party defendant.
How did the statute of limitations lapse on her, but not the other?
I don't know. But
she's a princess.
So nonetheless, Attorney General Letitia James is still trying to subpoena her. And her pettifogger, a dude named Bennett Moskowitz, said the New York AG, which never deposed Ms. Trump, is effectively trying to force her back into this case from which she was dismissed by a unanimous decision of the Appellate Division First Department. And she no longer lives in New York State, so there's no court jurisdiction over her. The New York AG knows this, which is why it has subpoenaed three corporate entities as an end run around its failure to pursue Ms. Trump's deposition when it had the chance. Well, here's a question. Wait. Where'd Iwanka go? Where did her and Jared move off to? Dubai or something? Are they living on that artificial palm-shaped subdivision or whatever? Where? Well, not surprised, though, because all of her little New York socialite friends, you know, her BFFs, her besties, kind of quit having anything to do with her. But I didn't know Iwanka had fled the state.
Is she down with Daddy?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe.
So wait. Well, you can buy a lot of places with $2 billion, you know.
But what about 666 Park Avenue?
That's where the devil lives.
The devil.
The devil.
No, she lives out in Chautauqua in Westchester County. Well, it has been a fun conversation, y'all. Very fun indeed. Oh, Steve.
Hey,
yeah.
Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah. Hey, I just want to answer a couple of questions about Ivanka. She and Jared actually bought a house down in Florida.
Oh.
And I think part of the main reason was it had Florida, you know, because of the bankruptcy laws down there. I don't know if you know, but your house is completely exempt from bankruptcy laws.
Right. Yeah, I heard.
Yeah.
Wonder when they bugged out.
I think it was not too long after they got that $2 billion bit of allowance from the Saudis.
Nice.
But, you know, like her pettifogger said, you know, what they will do is subpoena the company. That's standard. That's the and then have her have a corporate person testify. It's the state version of a 30B6.
Yeah.
That's all it is. I think she would gladly testify against her daddy. That's the only way she's going to stay out of jail.
Well, I think it's going to get bad enough that and we don't know what the paperwork is behind it all. But they're all Trumps, right? So they would sell him out in a minute.
In a minute, because he would sell them out. I'm surprised he's not. If truly what she did is beyond the statute of limitations, there's every reason to think that she will be on the. Someone please mute. She will be on the chopping block because if they can put everything on
her.
Remember when
Nitwit Nero said, "Well, you know, if it had to be, Don Jr. and Eric could handle prison, Ivanka couldn't handle it."
Wait, what?
John, let me tell you something. Don Jr., if he goes to prison, and this is going to sound really gross and crude, it'll be less than a month before he has a plunger up his ass.
No, baby. He's already, look, the brothers are already planning his welcome party. He's gonna be Bubba's bitch.
Mm-hmm. Did anybody see the movie Shawshank Redemption? What happens to people like that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking something entirely different along the lines of Shorty got a purty mouth.
Yes.
Come on, the Trumps are so likable. What are you guys talking about?
Yeah, I know, Amelia. Yikes.
I mean, squeak, squeal like a pig. That movie's what, about 50 years old because it came out in the 70s. That shit is still disturbing.
It is terrifying. Oh, yeah.
It is terrifying.
You may tell you what I think the creepiest part of that movie is? The kid with the banjo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I heard it, but I heard a radio comedian one time who did a parody song of a Tom Petty hit. And granted, we're 15:39 in the hole, but still, we could close off that 39 on that next couple of minutes. It'd be great. But No, he sang a parody version, and the chorus was, "Ned Beatty had the hardest part."
Oh! Okay, so I got a challenge. So you need your $39. I'm $20 challenge. So somebody mix up that 20, we got 40, and then you got a dollar. To the good.
Yeah, and that means we're fully funded up the last. We're just unfunded for this week, so that's awesome. Basically running.
I'll match
behind.
Your 20, Tracy.
Oh, bless your heart, Christopher and Tracy. Thank you so much.
Oh, I got a shirt, Robin. I think I told you about the Bitter Southerner.
Oh yes, ma'am. I love the Bitter Southerner.
So I just got my new shirts from the Bitter Southerner. One says, "Bring on the matriarchy." And another one says libraries are essential. But the best ones I have, they were out of my size, that said, "Bless your heart."
And
everybody
knows, bless your heart. God love you.
You can't help it. I love the Bitter Southerner. It says, what does this say?
Good Trouble, Better South. I love their T-shirts. I got the one that says I have read banned books. All y'all with the rainbow colors on it. And practice radical empathy. So I wear these shirts because I'm a walk.
I know they're out there somewhere. I want to be curious, not judgmental T-shirt.
Oh yeah. Well, like I said, I got my Ted Lasso T-shirt, and it says, you know, believe.
Yeah.
Because you know, there are good white folks in the world. And Ted Lasso is one of them. He's a good white boy. Mm-hmm. What? Why come y'all got all quiet on me? Come on now.
Why? Thank you, Christopher. Why that just landed. Thank you so much. Oh, y'all.
Driving,
okay, one last thing before we go. I was talking about Killers of the Flower Moon earlier.
Yes.
I heard a review of it on National Petroleum Radio while I was out running around going down to the settlements for provisions. And sometimes they just get a little too twee and a little too precious. Or call me out on this, okay? Because, I mean, I understand what underpins it, but at the same time, it's like, wait, what? Because along the way in the review, and by the way, this is a 3.5-hour movie, y'all.
Oh, jeez, are you serious?
Yes.
I have a little emotion.
I have to get the extra large popcorn.
Yeah.
And don't get the extra large soda.
No.
No, because...
Then I'll have the extra large pee.
Right!
So tell me if this is just a little too precious. The reviewer says, you know, Fox News style manual, of course. Some people have wondered if Martin Scorsese was the right person to tell this story and whether it should have been told by an indigenous person. And I get the vibe, okay? I do. And I get the point. But by the same token, this is Martin Scorsese.
Yeah.
Was anyone lining up to buy the... Because it comes from a book by the same name. Was anybody lining up to option the book for the movie?
Nope.
And Robin... Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, please, 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 please.
He has a reputation for making shit that nobody wants to make.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, the one that comes to my mind, or not only that, but making ones that he probably knew would be controversial. And to me, the most obvious was The Last Temptation of Christ.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Which, while it can get a little draggy, is an absolutely fascinating inquiry.
Which, The Last Temptation of Christ?
Yeah.
Yeah, and let me tell you what I love about that movie. People are too goddamn stupid to know, to understand that it was a temptation and didn't actually happen.
Right.
Hence, temptation, the word temptation.
Nobody.
It's not the last corruption. You're right, it wasn't the last corruption of Christ.
No,
it wasn't the last tango in Paris. It wasn't the last fucking of Christ.
None of that actually happened, and nobody fucking right. And well, of course, 9 people out of 10 who said it was horrible and blasphemous never saw it. So.
Yeah, right. Of course, I don't believe in blasphemy, so there's that.
But it's this thing Steve called, I don't know, nuance. You know,
I think it's much simpler than that, Tracy. I think it's called stupid.
It's common sense.
Yes.
And as my grandmother used to say, common sense just ain't so common, baby girl.
Truth. Well, y'all, I'm out of here. Thank you very kindly.
Have fun on Bridge Day.
I'm going to try. I hope it's not just so miserable that I say screw it. But I'm going to make my Bridge Day pot of chili and share that around. Hopefully that'll be enjoyed. And I will probably be a very sore girl after walking many miles tomorrow. Because I'll have to park on this side of the bridge, walk all the way across the bridge, walk into Fayetteville, and then turn around and walk all the way back.
It'll be good for you.
Yes, it will.
That's some bullshit.
No, that's not bullshit.
You do you, boo.
Walking is good.
No. I'm just... No. What I'm saying is I don't walk no... I just the thought of walking... What you were talking about doing, it is giving me palpitations. Because I live in L.A. and we don't walk...
Well, they run shuttle buses, but you have to park up here at the high school, and you wait, and you wait, and you wait, and you wait. And just, no. and they're repaving the mountain, or the road on the mountain, so that means taking the little route down the mountain and going across and back up into Fayetteville and then foraging for parking. That's not a winning strategy. So, you know, we'll see. But thanks, everybody. Thanks for the great conversation this evening. And thanks to all of our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time. And no, Brother Deacon Asa, I am not jumping this year. Not going to take the plunge this year, Asa. I think Asa wants me to take that jump a little too much. But no, thank you to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks in the chat room, Roger. Thank you so very much. Remember, the back porch will continue after this program goes off the air. So if you're a little nervous about being heard on the podcast or heard on the live radio... jump in. Have fun. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, like and subscribe to the podcast, please. It helps to grow the program. And it's free and easy. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you. I already did that. Sorry. Blonde. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Schedule your booster. That was a big bust for me today. Wear your mask when you're around the maggots. I'll be carrying my mask with me tomorrow. No backpacks on the bridge, so I can't carry anything but a shoulder bag. But there'll be a couple of masks in it. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Carry it with you, pocket or purse. Maintain your social distance. That's going to be impossible tomorrow. If some maggot comes along and looks and says, "We're going to molest you, non-violently, of course." Well, avoid that maggot like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Love you, Wayne. Later. Have a great weekend, everybody.